Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. As the gentleman said, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici here with my favorite dentist, Dr. Randolph Aguilera, for what, our fourth or fifth show?
I think it's our fourth.
Starting to lose track.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss today advantages of the zirconium implants over titanium. A brief review, gang, so listen up. This is going to get technical today, but we know you're going to follow. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. And look at the pictures. That way you can really understand this. Brief review. Get to the website. You're on the pictures now. Brief review. What we concluded last week, or at least the point I'm going to make, and I think Dr. A is mostly backing, is when in doubt, save the tooth. And that means if you have to get a root canal, and that root canal can be done correctly with all the giblets and gravy of what done correctly means, consult the last show. Keep the root canal, preserve the cranial rhythm, preserve as much of your natural, God-given tooth as possible. If not, if that root canal goes south, if it hurts, if you've tried other solutions like apicoectomies, so on and so forth, and it doesn't, and you have to pull that tooth, or that tooth cracks, if there's some sort of a fracture in the root, and you got to pull that tooth, our vote unanimously is to put the zirconium implant in. Why? Well, in the tradition of teeth, let's start with picture number one. Let's go back to the tradition of teeth. There is an artist's humor, the satire. But really, that's not satire because that's the way people did it traditionally. Some guy with a pair of pliers came in and pulled it, and we laugh at that. But that's literally 150 years ago, even today. Look at picture number two. There's a guy. God bless him. Look at that. That's the number of teeth he may have taken out by himself. Think of what you know now about cranial rhythms, about preservation of tooth against decay, against how to do a crown correctly, how to do a root canal correctly. Today we're going to get into the implant correctly, because when you look at, ultimately, picture number five, that's you in the audience today. Somebody that we're talking to today has a big hole. A tooth is missing. And you're debating whether you put that bridge in. And what's that bridge? It's a false tooth that crosses. Again, you're looking at picture number five. A bridge is a false tooth that crosses right into that empty space, and it hangs off the two teeth around it. Doc, that's probably the right side, so that's nine and
that's
seven and nine?
That looks like it's tooth number six, actually.
Six. So on either side, you have tooth number?
It's six or seven. It's hard to tell from it.
See, I'm going to vote for seven. I'm going to vote for that seven. And on one side, you got eight, and on the other side, you got six.
Correct.
And in the old days, before you felt confident with implants, before we really had a ceramic implant, you would hang a bridge on that. And the problem with that was what? You had to grind down both those teeth. If they were virgin teeth, if they didn't have crowns, if that was good enamel, you had to cut that down and hang the crown. Now you had three teeth in a unit, all of which are going to block the individual flexion extension of each tooth. But that's what you had to do. You had to put on a bridge, and if you lost two teeth, you'd have to put on a longer bridge, and the longer the bridge, the more you'd lock up that relationship between the hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal, and the rest of your body. So in the old days, before Dr. Aguilera and others helped evolve the implant medicine, you put a bridge in, and you lost that cranial rhythm. It hurt. Worse yet, if that bridge was across the front of your mouth, you lost a vital dynamic relative to the locations of the teeth in the cranial rhythm. But today you'll start to think about an implant. Now let's take a look at implants. Here's the classic implant. Go to picture number 11. Picture number 11. That's a titanium implant. Dr. A and I will be arguing against the use of that. Although, yes, it's your decision, but there's some real things for you to think about. Dr. A will be explaining. There's your classic titanium implant, the screw that goes into your jawbone, that piece in the middle called the abutment that screws in to the implant, and then months later, after the bone heals, hopefully, you have somebody mold you and then put crown on, and you're left with picture number 10. This is picture number 10. That's the zirconium versus the titanium implant. And that titanium you're looking at has problems that we want to start to talk about today. First problem is the micro gap. Now I'm going to, Doc, which picture do you think we ought to start with to explain the problem with titanium, this micro gap?
Okay, let's start 14, with 15.
15?
Okay. No, with 15. The problem is this, okay, as we go back to the beginning, you have three pieces in a titanium setup, okay? You have three pieces as far as the implant is concerned, fourth if you want to count the crown. That part that gets screwed into the bone, as you see that picture there, that's literally called the implant. So that's the part, it is underneath the gum and into the bone. But you can't put a crown on that because there's no post. Well, the post is referred to as the abutment. So the crown actually has to fit onto a post or the abutment. But how do you get the abutment into or secured to the implant? Well, the abutment now has to be screwed onto the implant. So where they come together, where the abutment meets the implant and the screw goes down microscopically. Now we can go to the other picture.
Let's just take a look at that screw for just 1 second. All right, go back to picture 11. You want to just point
actually,
out that.
So what this is actually...
Picture 11 now.
On picture 11, what you're looking at is the on the left side is the implant. And this is actually a healing abutment, but it gets screwed into it, okay? It doesn't really make any difference. It gets screwed in. Now, there's two ways to go. There's some of these implants we'll look at later where the abutment, there's a hole right through the abutment, and there's another screw that goes right through the abutment to screw it into the implant. Here, this abutment is actually literally screwed onto the implant, and now that we have a stump or the post, if you will, the crown on the far right side gets cemented on top of that. But where those two come together, where the implant on the left meets the abutment in the middle where they get screwed together. Now, do they fuse together? No, but microscopically, you have a space where the bacteria hang out.
Okay,
let's go to that picture.
That's perfect. The bacteria. Let's go to picture 16 and look about what the industry understands as a problem. It's not that they're telling you. It's not that when you go in and you get the one-day implant, which we're going to have a good sort of laugh at today, the place you go where you walk in with pussy gums and rotten teeth, and they're broken, and you look like, God bless him, the guy in picture number 2, and you leave with a shining new model-like perfect teeth, and you get the miracle of the one-day implant. They know about infections in the bone, but there's this notion about infections at this gap that Dr. Aguilar was describing. Look at picture 16. This is just a standard sort of advertisement for a company that wants to sell pieces to your implant, and they talk about a Morse taper providing this hermetic seal that bacteria cannot break through. That's probably not true, but that they hope can't break through, so there's less microbial ingress, meaning less microbes eating into this space. What space are we talking about? Dr. A just described that space. Let's look at the
picture. The micro gap, yes.
The micro gap. Let's look at the picture that Dr. Aguilar was referring to. Here's the micro gap blown up, I think, beautifully.
Picture number 20.
Picture number 20. Look at that. I don't know if that's an electron micrograph.
No, that definitely is electron.
Okay. That's as good as the technology gets to show us 20 angstrom units, or that's micrometers. But it's a, I, no, that's mic. back to school for
that's
me.
That's a real small space is what that is.
You bet.
Microbial.
And that's enough space for what?
For the bacteria to hang out and accumulate. And what that does is that accumulation of that bacteria there, in addition to the beginning of a biofilm, but what it does is it irritates the gums. And now you get a chronic irritation of the gums, and chronic irritation of the gums leads to the irritation of the bone. So two things go on. You get irritation of the gums, they get red, they start to recede, and you get irritation of the bone, which starts to recede. And this is what led the industry to try to get away from titanium, not so much because of the micro gap and because of the problems with bacteria collecting there, but the fact that you had a recession, and now you had a white crown, especially in the front tooth that we talked about on that example of where we had number 7 missing. The white crown goes over the titanium abutment, which is gray. Titanium is this grayish color. And it's connected to the abutment, which is gray, and the implant, which is gray. So now you have a white crown right at the gum line, and now you start to get this recession. The gum starts to recede, and pretty soon it starts as a dark shadow right at the gum line. And then, worse yet, if you get the bone to recede, now you have recession. Now, on a natural tooth, we talked about this earlier, if you get gum receding, you expose the cementum, but you look at more of a yellowish color underneath the white enamel. But on an implant that has a titanium abutment and a titanium implant, what happens is you see gray. So now you see the gray, ugly look of the abutment, and worse yet, the gray of the implant. Patients
and if these
did
were
not
on
like
the,
that.
Yeah, and if these were on the front teeth,
exactly,
it was even worse. I love that description.
So that's what led the industry to say, we have to come up with a better answer to this. And they knew that zirconium oxide, which has been around in medicine for a long time, they used it in hips for, you know, 20, 30 years at least. So they said, let's adapt this to the mouth. So, but they weren't still thinking about this was driven by aesthetics, by looks. They didn't want to have this issue of this gray around the neck of the tooth. So what they decided to do, let's make the abutment out of zirconium oxide. So the part that gets screwed onto the gray titanium implant on the bottom in the bone, let's make that white. And that enjoyed quite a bit of success for a while. But still what? You had the micro gap because you're getting the abutment screwed onto the implant.
As long as you have that screw, you're going to have a micro gap. As long
exactly.
as you have a micro gap, you're going to have calculus or plaque buildup, which is effectively the biofilm. But we're not the only people that are talking like this. Take a look. Hopefully you're on the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is my favorite dentist, Dr. Randolph Aguilar. We are discussing, we're actually setting you up for zirconium implants to the rescue, but we're giving you a brief history here of how the zirconium implants evolved over the decades and for what reasons. And oddly, ironically enough, it was simply a cosmetic aesthetic issue, whereas as these infections, these biofilms at the micro gap built up, you'd have your bone around it receding. In other words, the microbes would eat the bone. Their toxins would dissolve the bone. They'd eat the bone, and you'd be left with this ugly gray color. And that's why you paid for that nice implant, to cover up those rotten, stale teeth that broke. So this was much to the dismay, and the industry went to look at it, not from a health standpoint. But from a health standpoint, others have been talking. Take a look at the top of the pictures there. Click to view the full article on Weston Price supports zirconium implants. Now, Weston Price, that's the same Weston Price that doesn't want you to get root canals. Because of those infections in the tubules, even if the root canal is done correctly, they may well still be sticking to the notion of pull the tooth, pull the tooth. But they do support the zirconium implant. Take a look at why. It's not just us. This isn't our opinion. Just our opinion. Just pull that article up, scroll down, and what I've done is I've parentheses different pages here. Go to page number 2. The top of page number 2. So go to the article up at the top and go down page 1. Go to page 2. Excuse me. Go to page 3. The top of page 3. Weston Price talking about the Institute and a dentist writing for the Weston.